Radio.com.
Due to some violent content, parental discretion is advised.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho, the Ayatollah of rock and roll, and you are listening to WTR Sunday Night.
Welcome to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment.
You'd be a fool if you don't check out WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio, breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling.
Just in case you've forgotten,
the boss is back.
Triple H is my favorite wrestler.
You were an ass long before I made one out of you.
With your host, Tim Stein.
If you mean it gets better with age, it does.
Mace.
English, motherfucker! Do you speak it?
Omega.
Think fast, I talk fast. I need you guys to act fast if you want to get out of this.
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
Well, let's not start sucking each other's dicks quite yet.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
Yo, I'm in five halls of fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake!
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
This is Booker T, five-time WCW champ, and you're listening to WTR Sunday Night.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
That kid, you did that! Suck it!
Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Hell in the Cell preview time. And, yeah, we're all so excited over this one. We have a lot to talk about this week. This is the be-all, end-all of the network. Omega, joining me tonight, we have Mace.
Hey, man, don't you be dissing that, you know, Cena Randy Orton main event. Number 6,482, because know that match draws money. It also puts people to sleep and helps with narcoleptics. It's great!
It drew money 6,000 times before. Surely 6,001 times it'll draw money.
So did you know 5 years ago at the debut of Hell in a Cell pay-per-view for the WWE Championship, it was John Cena versus Randy Orton?
So it's an anniversary match. Okay!
Did you know that...
It doesn't make it any better.
Did you know 5 years ago Dolph Ziggler was competing for the Intercontinental Championship at Hell in a Cell? And so The Miz was competing for the U.S. title 5 years ago at Hell in a Cell.
Did the Big Show take on the big Russian guy 5 years ago at Hell in a Cell?
No.
Why?
Did we have two sisters going up against each other 5 years ago at Hell in a Cell?
No. This is what happens when you watch Hell in a Cell 2009 on the WWE Network for only $9.99.
So much changes in this business.
Right?
Maybe next Sunday we should all just... If you have the WWE Network, next Sunday at the time when the pay-per-view is going live, just put on the show from 5 years ago. It might actually be more entertaining.
You had DX versus Legacy in the main event.
I retract my statement.
No, it was a good match. It was a good match. It was a good match. Anyway, you're forgetting somebody.
No, I'm not.
Nah. But speaking of he who shall not be named just yet, I've been watching Storage Wars Canada. Lots of antiques. Lots of antiques being sold. So, of course, Tim Stein hasn't paid his storage bill in quite a while.
Prick.
He would have
to be you could be an antique collector without actually having to be, you know, the same age as the antiques.
But it helps with identification. I was there when. That makes it easier to identify things.
Ah, papyrus, like we had as a child.
I remember the 60s.
We're making fun of the one and only Tim Stein, ladies and gentlemen.
As he drums away on his desk because he's bored.
No, it's the 60s, so he's drumming.
He's typing the
hand
letter.
A drum circle. Oh, the typewriter. Just remember to change the ink ribbon.
What did that
keyboard ever do to you? No, it's his typewriter. He's got to change the ink ribbon now.
Do you see some asshole made a typewriter that types Comic Sans?
Nice.
No, but that just... Oh, man, that's mean. So yes, Tim, you got the intro, so now please do what you usually do on a Sunday night, which is try and lead this cavalcade of idiots.
I normally say good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Yes, we have an ever-changing series of intros happening, continuing this week with the Pulp Fiction version of the WTR Sunday Night intro.
And eventually we'll get into the 2000s for the clips he uses.
No, I'd rather he stay sort of at the older end, because there were a lot more quotable movies back then.
There were. I mean, Pulp Fiction
The turn of the century just really ruined quotable movies. You think about it, all your big action one-liners and stuff like that came from, like, the late 80s, early 90s, maybe mid-90s era, but once you had that turnover the year 2000, things just weren't as quotable.
Yeah. Could you say the same thing about wrestling?
Wrestling is not as quotable as it was in the 90s.
Just throwing that
out
there.
It's true, it's true.
It's damn true.
I think movies are getting better. We had Guardians of the Galaxy and the Lego Movie. They were both very quotable.
Well, we might wind up doing that at some point in time, eventually.
Omega named two movies from the last year. He skipped about 14 others.
I said getting better lately.
Yeah. Well, how many people have seen the movie Machete?
Nope.
Yes. A machete.
Okay, one of you has seen Machete. So if I were
machete.
To...
Machete. Jeez, get it right.
Machete. If I were to do quotes for Machete, only Mace would appreciate it.
Pretty much.
Yeah, well, Mace and me.
If you want to go even more, you get Machete Returns, which was the sequel.
And Machete Kills.
Yes.
Which is the threequel, which is like the worst of all of them. Now, wait a second.
Which
we're talking about
that yet.
We're talking about Machete movies, which is the worst of them.
Bullshit. They're so bad that they're good.
Well, yeah, no, that's the whole point of those movies, is that they're bad enough to be good. I mean,
you have
back
Charlie
in...
Sheen as the President of the United States, for fuck's sake.
How good is that?
Fucking hilarious.
I know, right?
And Danny Trejo is just awesome in whatever he is in.
Oh, I just got an idea to add to the rotating revolving door of intros. Just got another idea, so.
It's all Charlie Sheen, isn't it?
No. No, 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 but it's something Mace would definitely appreciate.
Yeah, but a jerk for one person isn't really a good jerk.
The witch, huh? Well, no, but everybody would get it, but you'd appreciate it.
Fair enough. Anyway, yeah. Wrestling.
As long as everybody gets it, that's all that matters. Yeah, let's just dive right straight into it, shall we, with our win and fail for the week. And let's start with Mace, because he said the least mean shit about me.
Okay.
I'm lying through my teeth. I think that you were...
Yeah, I was about to say.
He's like,
I was one
me,
started.
The least meat stuff? What the fuck?
I started it. What the fuck? My starting with the win is the thing that a lot of people at least online, have picked as their fail for the week. That was the ending to Ambrose and Cena on Monday night.
Okay.
Where Ambrose just sort of stops, grabs the contract in one hand, just looks at Cena. It's like, yeah. Guess who's going to get Seth Rollins? Tink, I do.
No, I just like he's sitting on the top of the rope and he's got his hand on the clipboard and he's just looking at Cena, waiting for Cena to notice him. That was priceless.
Yeah, and a lot of people are like, "Oh, that ruined the ending of the match." Bullshit. That was brilliant. It played to Ambrose's character so well, and I loved it because it's that devious little shit mentality that he's got. He's like a permanent 2-year-old that's about to do something wrong and waits for you to be looking before he does it. It's like, ha, you can't smack me.
Yeah, we're in public. You can't hit me. Obviously, exactly. This is not the, yeah, obviously this is not the 70s anymore.
But yeah, I just absolutely love that. And I don't get why so many people shit on it online this week. It was just played his gimmick so well. I love it.
Because one cool kid shits on it, and everybody else figures that they should shit on it to be cool, too.
Yeah, it sounds about right. Seems to be the way everything goes these days.
Yeah. All right, so that was your win of the week. Omega, what about you?
Honestly, this is something that I could have picked for multiple wins over the last few weeks, and that's Damian Mizdow.
Oh, he was fucking hilarious.
It's the stupidest thing ever, but he is owning it.
He's making it hit.
When, like, the Miz is in a headlock and getting strangled, he puts on this great little performance at ringside.
Oh, when the Miz gets knocked out of the ring and he's, like, holding on to his knee, and then Sandow has to come all the way around from the other side, and he just rolls down onto the floor and grabs the knee and just totally mimics him.
That was it. That was the moment where I was really sold on this. Man, they are... The crowd is so eating it up.
We want Mizdow.
Oh, my God.
It's like, even just, like, trying to put on a simple move on somebody else, and you're watching him trying to do it with the Invisible Man at ringside.
Yeah. Well, I thought the best this week was when Miz went flying over the side of the ring opposite the cameras, and they got the floor camera looking, just catching it at the right time when he slams into the black railing. And Mizdow slams into it in the exact same time and actually pushes it 6 inches in.
I have no idea where they're going to go with him after this, but they are going to make him so damn hot with the crowd, and I'm not sure where it pays off.
I tell you what the payoff is, and they're going to have no choice thanks to the crowd. This is going to wind up being a program between Miz and Mizdow, and it's going to lead to that because he's getting so over with the crowd. The crowd is forcing this upcoming storyline.
The problem is, how do you keep the crowd behind him when you end it?
Yeah, that's the biggest problem. And especially because, let's be honest, what usually happens when somebody is made more popular with something stupid through the crowd? They try to bury them.
Well, yeah, but remember, we're talking WWE and not what we know WWE should do.
Well, the thing is, the announcers are actually acknowledging it on camera.
Mm-hmm.
Where Mizdow is actually way more popular than Miz right now.
Yeah, no, that's
It almost needs to come to a point where Miz starts getting a little bit too pushy with his stunt double, starts getting jealous of his attention.
Yep.
You'll see him come out, and Mizdow will have a paper bag over his head. Nobody look at you. Look at me, the moneymaker. Just spend a month just kind of shaming him, put him down to the point where the crowd doesn't want to see him mimic Miz anymore. They want to see him beat the shit out of him.
Which, I guess, if you want to actually look at it, that's what they're doing. It's a they're doing. oh my god, they're doing a slow burn. And we know those actually like to start paying off. You know, building stuff over many, many months instead of, look, we got to do this in 30 days.
You talk as if this is, like, rare.
Yeah, it is. That's the scary thing.
Well, okay, you know, my one, it exactly mirrors Omega. My closest for a win this week is Damian Mizdow. When all this first started, I would, you know, watch it with a jaundiced eye, and I'm like, Jesus, this is stupid. But I have to admit, it's like Machete. It's so stupid, you love it. It grows on you until you wind up cheering for Mizdow, and you want Mizdow to be more successful than The Miz.
The key is entertainment.
It's just totally awesome. For, you know, PG style entertainment. I mean, yeah, sure, the kids are loving stuff like that once they figure it out. But the older people in the crowd are really getting behind it. And the problem with when you do a PG show, it's really difficult to get the entire crowd behind it. I mean, look at the most PG wrestler they have, John Cena. You know, let's go Cena. Cena sucks. It's divided almost evenly. But with Mizdow, it's pretty much just about unanimous. Everybody's right behind him. And it's fun, especially with, like you brought up, the announcers are really getting it over, talking about it and really pushing it to the forefront and stuff. It's just great. So yeah, that would be my closest one for the week. Omega, what's your fail?
Who the fuck is Nene? Who the fuck is deciding that these people should be the guest stars on Raw? It's aggravating. It seriously is, because it's as if okay, we want to bring in some kind of attention, we want to bring some stars, kind of boost ratings up a bit. Let's put in the people who have the absolute least amount to do with wrestling and what the target audience for wrestling is as possible. You're going to drag someone from a Real Housewives reality show onto WWE TV. You know, it didn't go well when Snooki came out and did anything with WWE, and that was a far bigger reality show at the time.
Yeah, she's Nene is Real Housewife of where?
Atlanta.
Never seen a single second of any of those stupid shows.
But it's on E! It's on E, the same network that runs Total Divas. That's the whole reason they put it out there.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. They're just, all they're doing is pushing another show on the E network.
Pretty much, because God forbid we push wrestling on a wrestling show.
It's weird that we actually have this Divas division that is completely divided between this is what the Total Divas cast is doing, this is what the real wrestling females are doing. And quality-wise, it's worlds apart. Anyone wrapped up in this Total Divas shit is having far worse matches and far worse promos than Paige and AJ right now.
And that's because Paige and AJ have nothing to do with Total Divas. Because they seem to have the Divas division, then they have the Total Divas division. If you look
two
at
different
the way they're booking. Yeah.
I hate reality shows.
Fucking no
hate
such
reality
thing.
Shows. I know there's no such thing.
They're all predetermined, man.
It's all scripted. I know.
Absolutely. The only thing that's not scripted is wrestling. Wait a minute.
Yeah, so maybe that's why they're doing so many of these.
Yeah, so Nene is your fail for the week. All right. Mace, fail for the week.
It's pretty much like, I've got it sitting here as 99% of Raw, but then I remember Mizdow, so we'll scale that back to probably about 95% of Raw.
Okay. It just really hurts.
This past week's show just sort of, it was just there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the booking wasn't great. The matches were okay-ish at best. The storylines just felt like, oh, we've got a week to fill before we go to the Go Home show. It just felt like it was just nobody really gave a shit. So everybody just turned up to work on Monday and went, we're going to half-ass it tonight. So that's just the way Raw felt to me, and that's my fail, was just that there wasn't...
Totally blasé and meh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just meh.
Yeah, Raw was meh. There you go. That's Mrs. Fail. Omega, what's yours?
What?
What's your fail for the week?
Rock, did you forget to give him his Alzheimer's medication?
Yeah, we just had the whole conversation about the nene.
Yeah, I know.
You know now.
Yeah, no, I was making a point. My fail for the week happens to be the fact that there's no real win for this week. You know, it's like what Mace said, it was meh. Nothing to talk about, nothing standing out really. Just very blasé show. And it, you know, just a total, crap fest before the go-home show. If we didn't have pay-per-view next week, we'd have an exceedingly short show this week because there's really nothing to talk about, especially from Raw and SmackDown.
I just want to ask, Rock, you awake? No, he's not. Great.
Well
he's awake. I actually want to ask him a question. And he's
playing shit
awake.
On his iPad.
As people should.
There you go.
Because here it is. I've got Twitter going while we're live on the air. The following status has popped up on my feed. It's under the Total Divas hashtag, by the way.
Okay.
Dean Ambrose wanted to take Daniel Bryan to a strip club so he could get motorboated.
And that popped up.
Need to watch Total Divas this week? Dean Ambrose taking Daniel Bryan to a strip club? That is fucking ratings.
Well, you could probably find out in a few hours, wouldn't you?
Probably.
Within the next few, yeah. I mean, just like as soon as we're done here, just kick on the torrents and the streams and see if there's anything uploaded yet.
Yeah. Because if Dean Ambrose is actually taking Daniel Bryan to a strip club, I want to see that shit.
You got to wonder how Bree would react to it, so.
That's half the thing. The other is, how does Bryan react?
Oh, she's working there that night.
Yes! 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 All right, so that's our wins and our fails for the week. We just basically have a few odds and ends to talk about.
Can I start the odds and ends this week?
Oh, well, okay, go ahead.
All right. If anybody has been on probably YouTube or Vine or something anytime over the past few days, even major wrestling sites starting to pick up on this, you might have seen the Randy Orton RKO out of nowhere series. Has anybody here actually watched it?
Every damn one.
I just want to give props to the guy that has done those. Like, just watching what would have been people just falling over, adding in Randy Orton, giving him the RKO. This is probably the best thing to happen to Randy Orton in a long, long time. Because, and I swear to God, if WWE doesn't run with it, they are fucking morons.
You know, there's an irony to the fact that we're so sick of seeing Randy Orton that the most, and now the most entertaining thing he's done in years, and it's stock footage.
Yeah. It's not even stock footage. It's people taking little cutouts, pictures of him, and turning them into clips.
Yeah, how many clips are there out there right now, like different clips?
Oh, it increases every day.
Because I've only seen the one. I only saw the one this week, and that was the skating anthem singer that tripped over the carpet and just out of nowhere is the RKO, and I just laughed.
I think there's something around about 7 or 8 different compilation videos at about 3 to 5 minutes each.
It's kind of funny. It's quite funny.
But the best thing is they take the audio from like Michael Cole, JBL, JR, and splice that in with the footage as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like Randy Orton giving the RKO to just about anybody who is stupid enough to fall over. So it's just taking something that's already funny and just making it hilarious.
How to make Randy Orton popular again.
But that's the thing. As Omega said, we've gotten so sick of Randy Orton over the last few months, and mm-hmm. here it is, all of a sudden, people are like, oh my god, have you seen Randy Orton? And it technically had nothing really to do with Randy Orton himself. It's somebody yeah. else who's made him popular.
You can't help but wonder if, you know, he might wind up having something said to him at some point in time by the legal department.
I don't think so, because it's technically it's classified under parody, so...
Well, yeah.
Didn't WWE run an article on it?
I don't know, did they?
I think it's been on a lot of other news sites. I don't know if it's been directly on WWE themselves.
I saw something about them acknowledging it, which they had to because Orton has been tweeting them out.
Oh, well, if Orton's tweeting them out, they've got to say
there is an article on WWE.com, Randy Orton's coolest RKOs, and they lead it with, you've already seen the Randy Orton RKO on the internet. So basically they took advantage of the hype to do a best of Randy Orton's RKO's videos on their website.
Okay, well, that's fair enough, eh? I suppose. Yeah. But yeah, but, no, that I saw was good.
Oh, look. I think there's actually a YouTube channel about it, so I'll try and find it and send it to you, but these things are just hilarious.
If you can get me the link before we're done tonight, I'll check that all out, because that's fun. I mean, that one that I saw, I wasn't expecting it. Like, Rock showed it to me, and I just like, okay, yeah, what, huh? Oh, shit. You know, that was my reaction, and I just chuckled. So, I want to see them all.
Yeah, I thought I definitely have to bring that up this week because, well, it's amusing, but at the same time, like, again, going to Twitter, it's something that one of the guys I follow constantly picked up on. He's like, okay, if anybody remembers sort of 2000, like the late WCW era, with Positively Canyon. He had a gimmick where he was giving everybody the diamond cutter out of nowhere. Like, literally, it was guys on the street, production crew, ring setup crew, random wrestlers, just anybody, anywhere, at any time, Canyon would just walk up, give him the diamond cutter, and walk off. Could you imagine something like that? It's like, you know, they're doing a backstage interview with Seth Rollins, all of a sudden Randy Orton just comes out RKO and runs off. Like, just to have him for no reason just RKO everyone and actually turn it into a gimmick. It's capitalizing on the popularity.
Oh,
and
God.
It would make Randy Orton interesting again because it adds a bit of randomness to the character where he's actually, it's like all of a sudden, yeah, the Viper can strike out of nowhere literally and no one is safe.
Why, for the love of God, am I remember Kane doing his Canaanite speech in the locker room with Hulk Hogan, and I can't remember who the third one was when you brought that up, the random RKOs. It's on that level. I mean, it was like,
it's on that level of Shawn Michaels kicking Stan.
I just kicked Stan! Yeah. What's your name? Stan! Boom! I just kicked Stan! It's like, where the hell did that come from? Yeah, you know, that would work. WWE, just for the hell of it, have Randy RKO. Everybody, just like at random. Whoever. I mean, do it to Renee Young. Right in the middle of an interview. Have her take an RKO for shits and giggles.
Well, that'd
be more random than that. It's gotta be like the custodian that just happened to be in the background. or just a vendor that happened to walk into shot.
Why don't we just have him randomly RKO Stan every single Raw from now until WrestleMania? That's a little, I know it's too much, but we've got to get Stan RKO'd a couple of times now. out of the blue, because he's been super kicked. Yeah, you know, there's a point there. If you wind up doing that, the crowd's going to get behind him, and the crowd will, like, turn him babyface, won't they?
At this point, who cares?
You know, maybe it'll be good for him.
It's going to make Randy Orton actually, like, popular for the first time in many years. So, by the way, Tim, the link I sent you, definitely watch Montage 2, because they've now edited some with JBL giving people clotheslines.
Okay, well, no, I'll definitely watch that after we're done tonight for sure. That should be a lot of fun.
That should be, yes, I'm done.
So, okay, now that being over and done with, am I sounding clear to you guys over Skype right now?
Sounding as Canadian as ever.
So, yeah, I'm clear, because you're just sounding like you're a motorboat right now when you're talking, Mace. I don't know about Omega, because he hasn't talked lately. And I'm just wondering if my Skype is screwing up again. That's a hint, Omega, for you to say something.
But this is more fun to make you wonder.
Yeah, well, too bad. Apparently there's something going on with my Skype again, because it's all making that, you know, electronic motorboat noise things. But we'll worry about that during the first break. Guys, Justin Roberts got released this week, right after Raw, literally.
God damn it.
Well, reportedly, he got into a bit of a disagreement with Michael Cole. And after getting into a shouting match, this is a report, Justin Roberts figured he was going to be let go. So he flipped Michael Cole off. Now, wouldn't that have been something to see? Justin Roberts giving Michael Cole the bird.
I've seen Justin Roberts fall asleep at ringside. I've also seen him get up and do a sexy dance, too. Well, that guy gets up at house shows when he thinks people aren't looking. Plus, he was one of the only ring announcers in that company that could actually say Melbourne correctly. Fucking Americans in your Melbourne. Stick that up your ass.
How do you say Melbourne properly?
Melbourne. Close enough.
It's not Melbourne. It's Melbourne. Just like it's Willamette, damn it. Never mind. So,
but yes, sad to see Justin Roberts go, as he was one of their better ring announcers.
Are they going to replace him, or just like immediately, or just use Lillian Garcia a lot more?
Word is they're looking at using Byron Saxton in the meantime until they work out a solution to who's going to replace him permanently. Could be worse. We could get JoJo. She can't even do ring announcing properly. That's fucked.
This was such a weird release. Like, the report... Yeah, I saw the report that he got into an argument with Cole ringside, but I also saw where this was pretty much decided on well before that. It's one of those, like, is nothing sacred type things. Because it's...
Well...
As soon as we get... It's kind of hard to get an established voice in the WWE, someone that we're used to hearing doing the ring announcing. So this one that just... You know, and usually they just go out of nowhere. Lillian... You know, Lillian just kind of leaves. Tony Schimmel just kind of leaves.
Bring back the Fink.
You really could. Like, in
well, he still has the voice for it. He just really doesn't have the look for it.
To be completely honest, you could replace him with a bunch of sound clips played over the PA system.
Yeah.
Just stick the Fink in a recording booth for 3 hours, you know, and you know, you're good for the next 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God. Yeah. Well, you figure TNA will snatch him up?
World champion next week?
There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, your brand new ring announcer, soon to be world heavyweight champion, Justin Roberts.
I doubt it because they've got such an established ring announcer now.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't see how he has a role in TNA.
Yeah, a lot of people don't see how anybody has a role in TNA, but that's a different story, and that's me taking a cheap shot. Anyway. On to the next item on the agenda. Apparently the Dudley boys are free agents. What do you think about them coming back to WWE for one more run? One more shot at it.
I honestly wouldn't mind.
Are the Dudley boys, guys, are they worthy of the WWE Hall of Fame?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Most definitely. If you can put Harlem Heat in there, mm-hmm. Dudleys are going to be next in line.
So if they decide, okay, well, we got to fill up the WWE Hall of Fame for 2015, and they decide to pick on to put the Dudley boys in the Hall of Fame this time around, would it not make sense for them to have at least a limited run leading up to WrestleMania 31?
I could see them coming back and working a proper schedule.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Bubba or Bully, whatever you want to call him, he's in the best shape of his career.
Yeah.
You know, he's got his chub down, he's more muscle now, he's got his cardio, his work rate's improved. Devon has turned into a freaking beast.
Mm-hmm.
These guys are in their best, in the best ring shape ever.
And not to mention, I mean, really, especially in the case, like, it's not just, like, ring shape. You know, Ray is in, like, just the best he's done, period, character-wise, promo-wise. He's one of the, like, few really big success stories out of TNA.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, even, like, I've seen bits and pieces of the Dudleys and their run recently in TNA, and these guys are still working together like, you know, the best pieces of a clock. You know, they perfect sync everything, and they are still popular as hell. And to let them come back in the WWE, just to let them use the Dudley name once more. Mm-hmm. God, could you imagine if they time it right? You know, do a show in New York and have those guys come out without letting it leak.
Yeah.
Could you imagine the pop they get?
Oh, that would raise the roof right there. That'd just blow the roof right off. In New
York?
Hell yeah.
And with the WWE having such a depleted tag team scene, what better way to start trying to rejuvenate it than bringing back one of the best tag teams in the modern era?
Yeah, okay. So, well, that being said, instead of just giving them a limited run up to WrestleMania 31, how long do you let them, how long do you sign them for? And when you bring them in, do you use them to get your new talent over, or do you make them a major force?
I'd say get them to sign a 12-month deal.
Mm-hmm.
Start them off as a major force. Have them come in and just absolutely destroy everybody. Then you use them to build up the talent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because here it is, you've got two guys who work together really well, basically a couple of beasts, going up against these high flyers like the Usos and, to a limited degree, the Dust Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And just have them destroy them. Just absolutely do what the Wyatts are supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
You know, or what they did when they actually gave them a good tag run. You know, destroy the competition. Then you use them to bring up the younger guys. Bring in, you know, I'm sure by the time everything goes through, if they decide to do it, the Ascension will be there, another great tag team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then you start, as you've got all these younger guys coming up from NXT, having these established, these real established guys there is going to help the credibility.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you use the Dudleys as a measuring stick. And sure, you give them one last run with the title, stick them in the Hall of Fame. After that, you turn around and go, hey, we want to do a deal where we use your guys at your training facility and we'll try and use that as a feeder into NXT.
Hmm.
hey, everybody's making money, everybody's happy.
Okay, there you go. So, how much more time do you think these guys have in the ring?
With the way that they're going at the moment, fuck, easily 5+ years.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So, this is the thing. This is like what happens if you take some people who are only just starting to have the wear and tear break them down and go, hey, DDP, fix them. DDP works his magic as he does, and you know, next thing you know, you've got another Gold Dust situation where the guy is wrestling a full-time schedule already for a couple of years and still looks like he's got another 5 years left in him.
I have to admit that I was kind of surprised that Gold Dust is looking as good as he's been looking.
That DDP yoga, man, I swear, it is, you know, some sort of fairy magic or something, man.
It's got to be. Maybe we should talk to DDP about it.
No, he talks enough about it, trust me.
Yeah, you can catch him in our archives talking about it.
Here's the thing. We can't really discount a lot of the older guys anymore. You know, the guys from, like, the 90s, early 2000s era, you can't discount them anymore. If Gold Dust proves anything, it's just with the right diet, the right exercise regimen, you can pull these old bodies out of the trash, repair them, and get them out working again like they're back in their prime.
Yeah, honestly, the one that surprised me the most, and I groaned when I first heard it happening, but it was the New Age Outlaws coming back. You know, okay, they had one run, given the tag belts. It kind of made sense with the storyline. I don't, you know, that's not part of it. But honestly, they performed. Like, okay, you know what? If you can do that consistently, maybe I'm a little bit too judgmental just because you were around when I was a kid.
New Age Outlaws performing quite well until Billy got himself legit busted up enough to be spitting up blood for real.
Yeah, but still, it's like having the older teams come back every now and again for short runs, you know, 6 months, a year, whatever. It's good for business. You know, as much as I do despise the whole, you know, part-timers coming back, you know, and getting major runs and that, it is still good for business. Mm-hmm. That I'll never shoot down. You know, money makes money. And for a team like the Dudley Boys that still have that worldwide recognition and can still go at the rate they can go and being in the best condition in their careers, WWE should snap them up. You know, TNA hasn't got them. Oh, well, yeah. Throw a little bit of money at them. Release a few, you know, if you need to release a few guys in order to afford them, then do it.
Well, I don't really think you would need to release anybody to bring them in. I can't see them demanding a massive primetime payday anymore. Sure, you're going to give them a healthy salary, but you're not going to break the bank to bring them in. You're going to give them a steady work for a certain length of time for a decent amount of money. So I don't know that you would have to worry about releasing anybody.
Yeah, Dudleys don't strike me as anything that would be expensive. It's not a dig to them. It's just, you know, I'm trying to find a way of capturing this. No, they just don't seem expensive to me.
Sign the tag team itself.
The only thing is, though, the only reason why I say that they might have a bit of issue is because they are coming off a TNA run. They were still technically on television. They are making big payday in Japan. So you got to sort of try and find something that's going to sort of balance on that. That's the only thing I worry about with the Dudleys is, you know, the fact that they are getting a good payday from Japan. They are coming off TNA, having big TNA contracts.
Yeah.
You can't exactly turn around and go, well, you know, work for base rates.
Well, hold on a second. A big TNA contract, it's still TNA. I mean, a big contract for TNA is peanuts to WWE. Really?
Yeah.
You know what? I would pay, and this is the point I was trying to make, I would pay the tag team itself $1.5 million for a 12-month run. That gives each guy $750,000. And that's a lot more than they were making in TNA, and you're not breaking the bank.
Give them that and the percentage of the merchandise rights.
Well, of course, that's just anybody smart enough to sit down and work out a contract. You got to do that. You know, percentage.
If I was the Dudleys, man, I'd say at least 10% of the merchandise sales. You know, the payday. You know, at sure, $750,000. That's fine.
Yeah. Well,
and they give me back the rights to the Dudley name.
Well, I would think that 15% of the merchandise would be good. Because basically what you're doing is you're bringing two well-established names in. You're paying each of them less than $1 million each for a 12-month run. I think the Dudley Boys are worth 15% of the merchandise sales, don't you?
Oh, look. In my eyes, they're worth at least 25%, but that's just me. At the same time, I'm not the guy holding the checkbook.
Yeah, you see, this is where my thinking is coming from, being the promoter. You know, I could do 15% of the net on the merchandise sales. So,
but hey, we all seem to agree Dudleys need to go back to the WWE.
I wouldn't have a problem with that. There are a few people I want to see.
You know, you listen. Make them the offer.
yes, WWE, bring them back. We want to see them. We know you listen to us. We know you pay attention to what we tell you because we're smarter than you. I'm probably going to catch hell for that one from somebody. I'm beyond caring anymore.
Oh, back to the blacklist.
Yeah, if you can't take a joke, to hell with you. But, yeah.
One to talk.
Yeah, well, I can take a joke as long as it's not against me. All right, guys, we've got a chance here to take our first time out of the evening because we've been talking for a whole 50 minutes. So we'll take our first time out. Everybody, you're listening to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on Wild Talk Radio Network. Daniel Bryan on the other side of this break.
Suffering is critical and finding what you need. Deliverance is evident, there's more than what you say. Pain is there the moment that you wake up from your dreams. Oh, I know you can lie. Oh, when you look inside.
Do you feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you, in the form of The Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with The Rack Extra. Weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply thebomb.com.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out pwmania.com. Again, the web address is pwmania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is pwmania.com.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
The first award was crowd participation. Your choices were... Fandangoing, yes, let's go Cena, Cena sucks, and what's up? Sub, what's your pick?
I think I picked Cena sucks.
No, you didn't.
What was it? It's going to be great.
I love these picks.
Sub, you picked yes, yes, yes.
Oh, yeah, Daniel Bryan.
Yeah!
why did I hear that? You didn't say that.
Yes, I did.
Yes.
And that was the one that won. Got that right.
Holy shit.
But because you changed your pick...
No, I didn't hear the option of Daniel Bryan yet. The guy's magical. He's a magical little guy.
The LOL moment of the year. Your choices were the Great Khali and Jinder Mahal try to snake charm Santino's Cobra.
You know, when you say it like that, that sounds so wrong.
I know. So
I'm going to say I went with the first one where they try to change King the Cobra.
No, you didn't.
What did he say?
He said he took the snake charmer. No. No.
Well, see, that's what I figured I would go with.
That's what Rob picked. You picked Titus O'Neil throwing up. You were wrong. It was the Rock concert.
Jesus, I was way off there.
Insult of the year, Sub.
Fuck, I have no idea what I went with. I'm going to go with the Big Show and Stephanie.
Congratulations, you picked the winning one. Today.
Yeah.
Today.
Can I trade in the ones when I like get a wrong problem? Do I trade two of them in for a win?
Diva of the year.
I'll go with the Funkadactyl chick. No, because I know it was AJ Lee. Do I want to win now?
Hold on.
Or do I stick to my gun?
So which one are you picking?
Funkadactyl.
Alright, so you picked AJ last week. You picked the Funkadactyls this week. Ace and Crispy picked AJ. That's all wrong. Rob picked the Bella Twins, and the Bella Twins won the award.
Suck it, bitches.
When you calculate everyone's pick, CB Radio and WTR pick. Subway, you were 500. You were 4-4. You did the best out of everybody.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Wait.
Down.
I think my head just exploded. I'm done. I'm
thinking something disconnected from my brain. I ain't taking calls, so I came to kick ass tonight.
Tune in to CB Radio, Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
This is Kane from WWE, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the Wild Talk Radio Network and WTR Sunday Night. Someone missed their cue.
No, he put it in the wrong spot, that's all.
What do you mean you put it in the wrong spot?
I was just putting the headset back on when you started talking.
You were still late. And we're still listening to the song as a result.
Well, he still plays it. He plays it too loud. He doesn't bring the volume down enough. And all we get is, oh, shut up, it's funny. Well, it's no, it's not. No, not in art. Anyway, welcome back, WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk. Right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hold on, Tim. Wrong spot, really? I queued you 45 seconds. I actually gave you extra time, and you still were late.
Yeah, for some reason.
You got to remember, he's smirking. It takes time.
No, he said all I need is 30 seconds. I gave him 45. Actually, I technically gave him about a minute.
Shut up. You talk too much, all right? No, I'm fine. I'm fine with the 30-second lead, but I didn't get the message on the phone. Okay.
Blame your technology, Tim. Blame your technology.
Rock, question since you're awake now. Did Dean Ambrose take Daniel Bryan to a strip club?
Find out on the Rack Extra Total Divas season 3, episode 8 and 9 review coming this weekend, because I haven't watched the show yet.
Fuck. I saw it tweeted. If it ends up on the show, I have to see it.
I don't want to waste
my time actually watching the show.
Ask me Tuesday or Wednesday after we see it.
Fair enough.
Okay. And I'm told to puff faster, Tim. Smoke faster.
It's got nothing to do with smoking faster. It's just a simple case of I told you I didn't get the message on my phone while I was outside smoking.
Get a better phone. Anyway.
Kids, don't smoke. It's bad for you. Their public service announcement for tonight. Guys, Daniel Bryan, I'm sorry. You were about to say something and I cut you off.
No, I said damn right. People shouldn't smoke. It's a very filthy, bad habit. It's bad for your lungs, bad for your cardio, and it will eventually kill you no matter what happens.
You know, my mom used to say to me when I was younger, you shouldn't smoke. It takes 5 years off your life. And I'd say to her, yeah, but those are all at the end. And they got those warnings on cigarette packages now, you know, cigarette smoke causes cancer in non-smokers. When the first time I saw that, I said, wow, good thing I'm not a non-smoker.
Yeah,
it's not funny. Stop trying.
Yeah, it's not. As a non-smoker who has issues due to being around my mother who smoked 40 a day for at least the first 15, 16 years of my life,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't find the shit funny. It is absolutely reprehensible, and people who smoke should have a bit more regard for those of us who don't.
You sound like a
total nut. Because I am a non-smoker, and I still ended up with fucked up lungs and a fucked up throat by being around smokers. So, you know, fucking bit of thought and care.
No, I don't smoke. Well, I don't smoke around you, so I don't. You know, I don't care what you're bitching about.
Well, big gaps of country and fucking oceans dividing us, Tim. So I think I'm safe from you.
You're safe from me. Yeah. No, you know, I as a smoker, I've got consideration even before any of this, you know, alarm about the secondhand smoke or any of that stuff ever came up. I, you know, pretty much never smoked around non-smokers, and I definitely never smoked around kids. So. But seeing as we're talking about health, let's talk about Daniel Bryan's health. It's being reported that he still hasn't recovered. He's going to need surgery. Are we ever going to see Daniel Bryan come back? Seriously.
Oh, just replace him with a robot and be done with it. The poor bastard just keeps going from one bad state to another at the moment.
No kidding. Well, don't replace him with the robot that they're using for the Old Spice commercials, because that guy's in worse shape.
Oh my god, those are creepy.
They are. Mace, do you see those commercials down there?
I don't, but a short YouTube search should inform me of what's going on.
Oh, it'll pick it up. What it is, it's this robot that has, he's all done up to look like a man with a mustache and beard.
Don't spoil it for him.
And,
Tim, shush, I found them. I will watch.
Okay, no, I'm not spoiling. I'm just saying that he talks about...
No, let him see it all. Let him discover it.
It's just the robot talks about Old Spice. That's not a spoiler. That's a preview.
I'll watch them. I found them all, and I'll watch them.
Yeah. Well, I just saw the latest one. Yeah, the latest one with a hot tub right before we went to air, and that gave me a chuckle. So, have you seen the hot tub one yet, Omega?
I don't believe so.
Okay. Well, that might wind up giving you a chuckle. It's just, yeah, it's cute. So, yeah. Back to Daniel Bryan. I think that it's about time that we just like ignore him until he finally does come back. I mean, when he does come back, how useful is he going to be?
Well, that's the thing. It's if he comes back at this stage.
Yeah.
The more I hear about this, the more it seems like something else has gone wrong. It's like, you know, it's like trying to work on a really busted up old car. You know, you repair one thing and something else breaks. You repair that, something else breaks. You repair that, something else breaks, and so on and so forth.
My dad just redid his 69 Ford, and I think of it every time Daniel Bryan comes up in the news.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's like, you know, oh, I'm going to repair the gearbox. Oh, the brakes are gone. Repair the brakes. Oh, shit, spark plugs need replacing. Oh, shit, the manifold's gone. You know. That's what's happening with Daniel Bryan. It's like they fix one bit and then something else goes pop or twang or whatever. You know, I feel for the guy. I really do. You know, all he wants to do is, you know, rehab himself and get back to doing what he loves.
Yeah.
And just every time, just something else just goes, no.
It's not even like, oh, this metaphor, it's not like, oh, well, we did the surgery on his neck. Oh, wait, his knee went out. Wait, hang on. No, it's like the same. It's like the same problem over and over. Like for some reason, they keep fixing it, but they don't.
Yeah. Well, if he was a car, I'd be saying that the car was nickel and diamond you to death.
It's like trying to repair.
Sure,
right,
yeah, Daniel Bryan
Nate,
took the cheap
fuck.
Surgeon.
Oh, it could be the same guy that's been repairing Rey Mysterio's knee for the last 5 years.
Yeah, I'm sorry. There's some repair jobs that just aren't possible.
Yeah.
I don't care how good you are.
So yeah, sorry about your damn luck, but damn. But seeing as we're talking about injuries, you guys think that WWE is showing a little bit of staleness because as a result of injuries to certain members of the roster?
It's not so much staleness. It's more they're sort of lost at sea at the moment. Yeah, and this is through their own fault. You know, one thing they really need to do is go back and rewatch this extremely biased Monday Night Wars documentary that they've got going on.
Mm-hmm.
And just really watch what they had going in the Attitude Era and what WCW had going in the Attitude Era. And realize that at the moment they're doing a lot of WCW mistakes. You know, relying on a extremely small contingent of, you know, upper card guys, bringing in stars just to try and make a payday, whereas what they did during the Attitude Era when they had multiple tiers of guys, you know, you had your main tier of guy, you had your head guy at Austin, then you had, you know, The Rock, Triple H,
mm-hmm.
and other guys below Austin as the backups. Then you had your Shawn Michaels, your Mick Foley, you know, your old reliables underneath them. Then you had your mid-card guys. Then you had your specialty guys. Then you had your jobbers and, you know, your lower card guys. At the moment, they've got Cena, Orton, everybody else.
Pretty much.
You know, And if they go, oh, we're going to take Roman Reigns and put him in Cena's spot, so Cena moves down to Orton's spot, and Orton gets his own new tier, or while Cena and Orton share the tier. Oh, Roman Reigns is done. Shit. Quick, bring up back. Cena again. You know, we got Daniel Bryan. Let's put Daniel Bryan up in the laptop's top spot. Daniel Bryan's injured. Fuck. Back to Cena and Orton.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they it seems that the way that they've got everything set at the moment, they're trying, as much as it's great, that they're trying to recapture that magic that they had with guys like Austin and The Rock that could be the big single-eyed face of the company.
Mm-hmm.
They're forgetting to set themselves up down the line. We're hitting early 2000 eras again. We're hitting 2002 where you had one or two top guys, then you had everybody else, and there was this bottleneck of talent. You know, you had so many guys trying to buy for that top spot that everybody was just getting crushed and nobody was really going anywhere. And that's what we're getting again now. You know, it's great that they bring up all these guys from NXT and they're a great new generation of wrestlers that can really bring the work rate, and but at the same time, they're not as entertaining. Or you have the entertainers who can't really wrestle that well. They're not balancing the guys. And the way that they've got everything tiered just makes the company go, oh crap, something's broken, shit, what are we going to do now? There's no, once you hit plan B, there is nothing after.
No.
You know, you have, here's who we're pushing, here's our backup. If that happens, we're fucked.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you know, back then it just felt like they had a rotating, revolving roster of people capable of stepping in. Whereas right now, it just feels like they got three people they can rely on to carry the main event load.
The WWE practice these days is to only focus on one new talent at a time. Okay, they intentionally hold back on pushing the Shield because Daniel Bryan was getting over really, really big with the crowd. So we're not breaking up the Shield just yet. Mm-hmm. Oh, now we're breaking up the Shield. We're gonna push Roman Reigns now that Bryan's completely established. And meanwhile, here's Cesaro that the crowd's going nuts for, is athletic and powerful as hell. We just gave him a push at Mania with the Andre the Giant thing, and nothing becomes of it because we really don't want to focus on him right now. We've got one other guy we're focusing on. And then Cesaro completely flounders. It's their own fault.
Well, you've got a point, but at the same time, you know, you're bringing up the name Cena and then Orton and then everybody else. But right now, they're also focusing on Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins. That's got to be a step in the right direction.
At the same time, they didn't really start to put the focus on them until Roman Reigns was almost established. And then now that he's on the injured pile, all of a sudden there is a lot more focus on Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins than there would have been if Roman Reigns was still healthy and in that spot.
Not to mention, yeah, they are pushing Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins now. But reportedly, the main event at Hell in a Cell might still be Cena and Orton. They might still get the final match of the night.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's the, air quote, loser's match.
Well, I'll practically guarantee you that Cena is not the final match of the night next week. I'll practically guarantee that.
There's almost a part of me that hopes he is. No.
Well, I'm just waiting for you to expound upon that.
I was going to wait till we actually talk in the pay-per-view, but I can do that.
Well, sure, go ahead. You don't have to wait till the pay-per-view talk, because we play Pick'em then.
Yeah, this is a shit pay-per-view.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely. So, okay, we've got Big Show and Rusev. Mm-hmm. Who we've already seen on free TV twice in the past few weeks.
Yep.
We've got Sheamus and Miz, who we've already seen twice in the past few weeks. We've got AJ and Paige, and they are great in the ring. How many times have we seen that match on air quote, pay-per-view now?
This will be the third month in a row.
Mm-hmm. And we've got Nikki and Brie Bella, the Total Divas match, because Total Divas matches are always so big with the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And meanwhile, we've got, what, Ziggler and Cesaro maybe happening? Cesaro's lost 12 title matches in a row now. It's not exactly a draw for him at this point.
Yeah.
Not to mention, it's also a match we've seen. And then Hell in the Cell. Okay. Here's the stats. John Cena and Randy Orton have had 15 televised matches this year alone. And that's assuming they do not have one on Raw and or SmackDown by the time the pay-per-view airs. So, let me pull up the number real quick. Someone just told me the number the other day.
Okay, so the Orton and Cena matches this year.
Yeah, including the house shows, Cena and Orton. Well, including house shows, Cena and Orton have now had matches 120 times. Tag team or otherwise, 315. So 315 times these guys have been opposite sides of the ring from each other.
Mm-hmm.
So Hell in a Cell is Cena versus Orton. 316 says, I just bored your ass. On paper.
There's a t-shirt.
On paper, this is a hideous pay-per-view with a bunch of matches everyone's seen already, and some of them like Cena and Orton really don't have a build or really any reason why it's happening. The only match anyone cares about is Rollins versus Ambrose. And if this pay-per-view is seen as a failure and they put them in the main event, guess who's going to get the blame? Because it ain't going to be the top guys that are impervious.
Mm-hmm.
No. It's going to be the two guys whose career are on the up and up. Well, we put them in the main event slot, and no one was watching the pay-per-view on the network. Buy rates were down, even lower than they are now. Guess that was a mistake. Orton, Cena, 3, 6, 17? Anybody?
Mm. Yeah, well, no, I can understand what you're saying there. If they stack the card properly, you're right. It's not the strongest pay-per-view that they put out this year, but if they put the card together properly, they're going to be a lot of people who buy it. So, but we know that a great main event is not the reason for a failure of the pay-per-view on a whole. We've seen it before that a great main event is the savior of a meager or inadequate or a so-so pay-per-view.
But if it underperforms because not enough people are interested in going to watch it, they don't blame it on the fact that they gave away all these matches for free and we've seen all these guys fighting a dozen times already.
Yeah.
They're going to pin it on the top match that's brand new. We booked that as the main draw and nobody came to see it.
Well, again, that's not brand new either. We've had Rollins versus Ambrose three times now, haven't we? It's been three times.
But that's the build feud.
Yeah.
Okay, look at all these things that Seth did to Ambrose, put his head through cinder blocks, et cetera, et cetera. Turned him, stabbed him in the back.
Well,
up the shield. And now, Hell in a Cell, this is where feuds are supposed to go to die.
Mm-hmm.
This is the build. This is the match. This is what the whole pay-per-view is kind of banking on. If it doesn't bank, they're not going to blame the guy. They're not going to blame the veterans who are having their, 20th, 30th match with their current opponent. They're going to blame the match they pushed as the top draw. And if the main event ended up being Cena versus Orton, That for me would take the heat off of Ambrose and Rollins if things go south.
I was trying to look up. Supposedly this is somewhere along the lines of the mid-30th match Cena and Orton have had in some way, shape, or form this year alone. In the past 3 months, going back between June and pretty much up until the start of this month, they've faced off, what was it, 16 times. So 16 times in about 3 and a bit months. This would be like their 17th face-off.
So, of course, you want to see you got to get them to buy the network to see that 17th match, you know, rubber match. Which, it wouldn't surprise me at this point if WWE actually tried to book it that way. Well, they're 8-8 this year.
Yeah. If it wasn't for the fact that at this point, I think Randy's at like 2-11 against Cena.
Yeah.
It's not even even.
Well, it's Superman. What are you going to do?
Make him go back to Krypton and we'll do a movie about Batman.
Yeah, there you go. Guys, before we actually get into Hell in a Cell Pick'em, let's create our very own Slam City really quickly. What do you figure? I think that'd be fun.
Segway.
Sure, something different. Let's do it.
There you go.
Oh, wait, that's later in the show.
Yeah, well, came up with a list of wrestlers or, you know, talent. And if they weren't wrestlers, you know, come up with a job that would actually fit them. Not the Slam City version, but something that would, like, be really apropos for them. The guys we've got lined up would be Dean Ambrose, Bray Wyatt, Randy Orton, Luke Harper, Dolph Ziggler, and Paul Heyman. And let's start with Mace. Mace, you can pick whoever you want, or I can just give you a list.
I've got the list, and believe it or not, I have actually found professions for every single one of them.
All right. Well, then in that case, let's just start with your profession for Dean Ambrose.
I've got him down as a cartoon writer.
A cartoon writer?
Yeah, for some reason I can see him doing like a parody of the old Wile E. Coyote and Roadrunner cartoons.
Shit, yeah, I think we just found the creator of the Dark Side. Or the Far Side, rather.
For some reason I just had him being this. It's almost like, you remember the Daffy Duck cartoon where nothing would ever go right for him, and the creative through most of it would like erase part of him and redraw him as a flower, or, you know, change the background, or he'd ask for something and he'd get something completely different. You know, that classic card.
And one of the best ones.
And it ends up being Bugs Bunny, who's the creator that's been fucking with Daffy the entire time. I could imagine Dean Ambrose in that type of role, but maybe even for the whole of Slam City. Like, the whole thing, like, the very last episode they do, they pull it out, it's this gigantic playset, and here's Dean Ambrose playing with everybody.
Kind of funny. Okay.
I don't know why. I could see him being the fourth. I could see him being the Slam City version of, like, Deadpool, the guy who's breaking the fourth wall and everything.
Mm-hmm. Because you did that, I can just imagine Dean Ambrose being the creator of Bill the Cat.
I'm surprised they haven't got Dean Ambrose to try and show the WWE knockoff Lego sets yet.
God.
I keep forgetting about those. Every now and then someone reminds me those exist.
They've just popped up in the local Toys R Us. I am not paying $100 for that fucking ring.
Oh, my God.
Even the most basic sets, like the Undertaker with the bike and, you know, Kofi Kingston with the workout set, is like $17.
From what I hear, they're not even very good Lego knockoffs.
They're not, to be honest. I got my hands on them last year, and no, they're not all that great.
The cartoon writer is Mace's idea. What about you, Omega?
The sad part is I couldn't think of anything for Ambrose.
Really?
Like, the cartoon writer, maybe. I can see him, like, I can almost see him as, like, making a career out of being the villain in, I don't want to say direct to DVD, but just that kind of, throwback, like, 80s, 90s style action movie.
Okay.
That might just be because on TV he's portrayed like such a maniac. I could just imagine him with like a detonator in his hand at all times.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. Sort of an insane version of MacGyver.
I was thinking just one of those like consistent film bad guys. You know, there's always guys who are just like always playing the villain.
He would have been a great villain in MacGruber.
Had enough wrestlers in it.
So, yeah, I don't know why, but I just picture Ambrose being that guy in your neighborhood, or the guy you know in the blue collar neighborhood, who seems like a real delinquent, but he'll fix your car and make it better than new for a case of beer. You know, backyard mechanic.
Yeah, I could understand that. I can also understand what Omega went through with trying to work out what to do with Dean Ambrose. Surprisingly enough, Dean Ambrose is the last one I came up with something for, because I was sitting there for like quite a while this morning during my downtime trying to work it out, and I'm like, Ambrose, what the hell could you do with Ambrose?
Yeah. No, I've gotten, for some reason, I just got him pegged as the backyard mechanic that seems really unstable, but he's a nice guy at heart.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that guy in the blue-collar neighborhood that'll fix your car for a case of beer and $20. And you're kind of scared of him. But you trust him with your car before you would Ford.
Yeah, true enough.
Yeah, that's what I get. I don't know why. But, okay, what about Bray Wyatt, Omega? You got a career for him?
For some reason, that's the guy who should be running the shop on Cajun Pawn Stars.
Oh, yeah?
Like, just aside from fitting the tone, oh my god. Bray could get you to pay any price he wanted for anything you brought in.
Oh, now that you say that, he actually reminds me of, who's the guy on Pawn Stars? The really, really dumb one.
Chumley.
I just laughing because Omega and I, like, virtually simultaneously came up with Chumley.
I've only just started watching that show recently. So.
Oh, that is such a put-on bullshit show.
Oh, I know, but it is so amusing. I love the old man in that one.
I'm going to confess.
The old man in that one is hilarious.
Yeah, no, I watched the show. That's my confession about Pawn Stars.
It's much better than the other one that's set in the pawn shop. I can't remember. It's the same type of thing. It's like, you know, it's a father, son, and daughter shop.
I've seen Hardcore Pawn.
That's the one.
Hardcore Pawn, yeah.
I hate that show. I hate it. Those people are just so unlikable.
Yeah, no, the whole idea behind Pawn Stars, it's on History Channel in North America here. The whole idea is everything's fake and scripted out and everything, you know, kind of like wrestling, except for the stuff that's being featured on the show. And the idea is the stuff that's being featured, you get the historical background on all of it. And that, you know, that's what makes it okay to be on History Channel.
Yeah, it's right? Yeah, well, it's fake as hell. Like, I've recognized people and things they brought in on that show.
Oh, yeah.
There was, Mace, do you know Pat the NAS Punk?
Yeah.
he was on there. Because apparently he wanted to pawn off his copy of Nintendo World Championship.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Yeah, if you know Punk, you know, like, his love of that cartridge. Because, okay, for Tim's edification and for any listener out there, Nintendo World Championships, okay, this was the game that, back when Nintendo was, like, the only video game company around, they had a national championship where you went to, like, a Blockbuster or something, you hold a tournament, and then they just narrow it down, just, like, regional, national thing. And the cartridge you played on was three games. It was, Tetris, Mario, and something else. I can't remember. But the idea was you just competed to see who could get the best score amongst this, these certain amounts of time. Now, and they gave away, like, I want to say like 50 cartridges of this game in gold to like prize winners, but they also gave out the actual copies they used for the tournaments, which there's like less than 20. And this guy owns them both.
I don't know. The one thing
these cartridges are worth mega dollar though.
Yeah.
Like the kind they have both of them together. And he had them in pretty good nick, too.
If I remember
correctly. He's one of the very, very few people who owns almost mint copies. And, like, we're talking, like, tens of thousands of dollars for an old Nintendo game. Not the rarest one, mind you, but still.
Oh, no, that's it. That's it.
But yeah. Anyway, we were talking Bray Wyatt being a guy who works in a pawn shop. I actually have Bray Wyatt down as a preacher.
Oh my God! You're kidding.
At the Church of Wyatt. done up in the whole thing, like the black robe with the white collar, the whole nine yards. You know,
it's actual cult leader.
Yeah, but the Bible of Wyatt and just preaching, and it'd be one of those things where he's preaching about, you know, the sister Abigail and everything, and they do like a camera pan to the crowd and all of them have sheep masks on.
Oh my God, Wyatt needs to start cutting promos in churches like that.
You know, in the '90s he would have.
Yeah, how about one of his creepy promos where he's like, he's up there at the altar just kind of preaching away. You cut back to the crowd just staring, just wondering what's going on. And by the time he finishes, it cuts back to the crowd again. Then the sheep masks are all on. Like, he just converted the whole damn crowd right there in that
sort of like
2 minutes.
Sort of like he did when he came out singing with the little kids. They first came The first you just saw a kid, and then you saw everyone in sheep mask around ringside.
Exactly. That took all of like half a second to think of. It was like Bray Wyatt preacher done.
He's the thing that popped into my head with Bray Wyatt was like taxidermist.
See, now that I would have left for The Undertaker. And just for the small tribute, you would actually have the whole thing named as the Pallbearer Memorial Service.
Yeah, but we're not doing The Undertaker. I suppose we could do this on a regular basis here and just use do a few every week. But, I don't know. It's just that, you know, I could see him with that leather apron on and him talking all this weird shit while he's stuffing a possum, you know, or a squirrel. Or an alligator.
Yeah, possibly. It's an interesting idea.
Yeah. So that's what I had. Omega, what about Randy Orton?
Uh, Orton I probably had the hardest time with, just because the guy has absolutely no qualities I can base anything on. Snakeskin purse salesman.
Okay, Rock.
Well, yeah, you throw it out there. Might as well. Maybe that bought Omega a second, I think.
I don't think so.
No. there's no thought in my head that leads me to anything. Orton would have to have some kind of feasible personality for me to come up with some kind of actual job for him.
So
let me hear what everyone else came up with then.
Okay, we'll come back to you. Mace.
Randy Orton, I had Zookeeper. But the thing
him
is,
RKOing the lions, eh?
Exactly. You know, this is the lion, RKO. This is the bear, RKO. This is the viper, and he just holds it, petting it, going, "This is my friend." This is a penguin, RKO.
Okay.
Someone get the forklift, and the giraffe is next.
Well, my pick for him in Omega, this ties in with the whole personality thing that you were talking about. Doorman at a gentleman's club.
Okay.
Actually, when you put him in the suit, yeah, it works. When you put him in one of the evolution suits, yeah, it works. Give him a pair of glasses, he'll be good.
Dark glasses with the little earbud thing there and him looking all professional, but, you know, they'd kill you if you tried to step out of line.
Yeah.
Or butt in line. That's just, you know. So does that help you or hinder you, Omega?
Nothing you do has ever helped me, Tim.
Oh, wonderful. So, in other words, you still don't have anything for Randy?
I'm gonna make him CIA.
Put him in the suit with the glasses with the little earbud thing. Why not? It works.
Cause when he's around, he's dangerous as hell. When he's not around, you forget he was there. It's perfect.
Why not?
Yeah, we don't even have to disguise this guy. No one wants to pay attention to him.
Mr. Personality. Okay. Well, move on to the next one in line, Luke Harper. And we'll go to Mace for this one first.
For Luke Harper, I have him down as a kindergarten supervisor.
You okay, sick fuck!
Bear with me. The one thing they've been talking up in the promos was the thing he's like a child. He's just a big child.
Oh, is that?
Okay, so you take that type of sort of a almost a learning disability type personality. Dude's always wearing a sheep mask. I could imagine
wrong person.
The character.
Wrong person.
Oh shit! That's
oh my god!
Fuck! Like,
when you said child, I was like, wait. No.
Yeah, I know. Fuck, Rowan.
Not Rowan Harper.
God damn it!
He's gonna castrate you now.
I'll just throw the recording at Kane at her. She'll squeak for half an hour. She'll be fine. Fuck. Well, then that just blew that one up completely.
Like sheep mask and child.
Yeah, I know. Fuck. I keep when I'm just looking at the names, I keep forgetting who's who.
You know, if I did that, you would accuse me of having Alzheimer's or some shit.
Okay, JB.
Whereas I'm just fucking forgetful and dumb, okay?
Yeah, right, sure. We'll just call it that.
JBL once on SmackDown called Eric Rowan and Luke Harper the Harpers.
The Harpers. Anyway, getting back to what's his job?
Now you have to think about it for a second.
Okay. No, alright. Alright, so Harper I'd actually have as the type of role that Tim put Dean Ambrose in. He is that guy who will work on your car for a case of beer and $20.
Really? I don't know why I didn't touch my car.
Only because he would have about four or five cars there for parts sitting out on the front lawn.
Now we know what the stain is on his shirt. Got it.
Here you go.
Motor oil.
Shiny fluid. It's not dirt.
Exactly.
Motor oil. Okay, backyard mechanic. Omega?
Kindergarten supervisor.
Because he's smart ass.
Because Eric Rowan is so much like a child, Luke's had to take care of him this whole time, so he'd be perfect at it.
You call him childlike?
Thank you, miss.
You're lucky that you're holding things of mine hostage, or else I would be fucking killing you right now.
Mace.
Yes. What? Die in a fire.
Oh my god. You're gonna get these guys singing karaoke anytime now, Rock. Cue up the music and get it ready. Oh, shit.
You might have to go cue up a karaoke song? Cool.
No, that's not what I said. Never mind. Forget it. I'm still waiting for, like, you know, some sense of, no, seriously, from Omega here.
What?
Oh, that, no, you're being serious? That is literally your
answer now, yeah.
Okay. You just initially did that to fuck with Mace, but you're going to stick with it. Alright, fine, keep it, whatever. I don't know, I got Luke Harper as one of those alligator wranglers that you see on that TV series. Again, I think it's on History Channel or Discovery, one of the two. What is the name of that show? I can't remember. Oh, well, what the hell. Okay, here's one for you, Omega. Dolph Ziggler.
Stuntman.
Seriously?
Everything the guy does looks like it hurts like hell.
Okay.
The guy bounces around like a goddamn mad ball.
Hey, Omega.
Yeah?
Out of my head, fuckhead.
What, did you do the same thing, Mace?
I did, up until we were going through it, and then I'm like, for some reason, something in my head said, don't go with your original answer of stuntman, change it to something else.
Okay. So did you change it to something else?
I did indeed.
Okay, what?
We have Dolph Ziggler, owner and operator of the show stealing salon.
He's a hairdresser.
The show stealer or the show off salon.
Oh, God, I don't know about that. He doesn't seem fruity enough to be a hairdresser.
What? Oh, you just play up the whole, oh, you're going to steal the show. Oh, this is going to be, you know, a showstopper thing. You just play that up.
He doesn't have to be the one doing the hair. He just owns the salon.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. You know he would wash someone's hair, too, from time to time. Tell his stories. That's what he would do. He would gather.
And the thing is, I'd make it a bit of a throwback thing, too. Because Ziggler would be the one who runs the shop, but you have AJ and Big E doing the hairdresser. Doing the hair on everybody.
Especially Big E.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, I see Dolph Ziggler as the disc jockey in a strip club.
Okay.
I have no response to that.
It sort of works.
I thought this was supposed to be in the vein of, you know, Slam City, you know, that little kiddie show.
No. We're creating Slam City, but the idea was like it's the actual perfect job in your mind for these characters, not doing something outrageous.
Everyone's a porn star.
Yeah, you know, like doing something outrageous. Everybody's a porn star. No.
AJ leads the stripper because I want it.
there you go.
Yeah, even if we have that world, I'm still putting AJ Lee as the owner of a comic book shop.
Yes! I would be totally down for that one. I don't know why, but it just, yeah. But what was your job decision on Paul Heyman, Mace?
Oh, wow, this one took a while. But it's like, how could I make this really fucking funny?
I had like three and it jumped in my head immediately.
Paul Heyman, manager of a bank.
Oh my god. With his five minute long, convoluted, big word explanations on, yes, this is why you cannot have that long.
Oh no, and believe me, by the end of it, the bank itself would bounce.
Okay, sure.
Why has Slam City run out of money, Paul?
Okay.
Mm.
What about you, Omega?
My gut instinct was lawyer.
Yeah, I could see that.
I thought that was too obvious. I had thought motivational speaker, because if he could motivate the ECW roster, he could do pretty much anything. I think I settled on used car salesman.
You bastard! That was the very first thing that, and the only thing I came up with.
Oh my god. Oh, and here am I going off about all the ideas I could have gone with.
But yeah, no, used car salesman. For me, for Paul Heyman, that's like perfect. He's got the slick back hair. He's got the rumpled suit that costs a lot of money, but it's still rumpled and cheap looking because it's rumpled. He's, you know, with all of the verbiage that he spews forth, it's enough to confuse you into actually buying the car that he's trying to get rid of because it's on its last legs. And somehow you wind up paying double what it's worth by the time the transaction's over with. But yeah, used car salesman for Paul Heyman. Get out of my head.
Trust me, not a place I like to visit.
Well, yeah, well, imagine me. I have to live there. So that's us creating real-world jobs for WWE stars, and we only did that because there's not a lot to talk about, so we decided to get a little goofy. Unless you guys want to do this regularly. I don't know. We'll talk about it later.
Not regularly, but maybe once every now and again.
Sure. Well, that would be regularly. You know, like a couple times a month. But on that note, I think it's time we take our second and final time out of the evening. Come back for Hell in a Cell Pick'em, and basically wrap up the show. Everybody, get ready to play WTR Pick'em. We're going to give you the matchup. All you got to do is pick the winner. List it in the chat room. We'll give you all the ways you can play. And who knows, you might wind up with bragging rights until the next pay-per-view. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Together to fight against their only failings, the streets are where we play. Him for the lonely, wretched and forgotten, the feeling in our
There is only one place to go for all the latest wrestling action figure reviews, and that's Wrestling Figure Wednesday, with new episodes every Wednesday and Friday. Wrestling Figure Wednesday provides you with some of the most intricate reviews of the latest wrestling action figures from both WWE and TNA. And if that's not enough, look out for some exclusive wrestling action figure reviews that you won't see anywhere else. The only place to find these wrestling action figure reviews is at youtube.com/MBG1211.
Hey gang, this is Tara, formerly known as Victoria from WWE, and I just want to say Matt Goldberg is a genius.
Make sure you check out Wrestling Figure Wednesdays today.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air, don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Are you serious? That's the number two.
That's currently number seven. It was number two at one point.
Apparently it's big or something, but I don't know what the fuck it is. It sounds like a gangbang or something. Techno gangbang. Maybe the world needs to end. End of the world Gangnam style.
Weird shit. Wow. Becomes popular. Like, I swear I've heard all about this stuff, but I don't... I was like, what is this, like a fucking martial art or this type of food or something? I don't know what the hell it is. Is it sexual position? I play my, you know, work schedule and whatnot, but...
Watch the video.
Okay, let me get the video then.
What the fuck? I thought the people were going to be showing at the party. Oh, you Gundam style over here.
I told you, I told you. Not the pelvic thrust. What, Mr. Sulu in the sky? Oh, they're riding that pony.
Yeah, I don't know.
That 800 million? Oh, I'm scared for the future.
Yeah.
This is why I don't go to clubs and dance, because I can't do this shit. Hey, I make sure the club's staying still. I'd lean on that wall. I make sure I got drinks in my hand, and I make sure that club's staying still.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be dreaming about him.
Oh, man, damn it. Now I gotta play something else, Rock. I heard this song twice now. Wake up and start riding the damn donkey.
Hey, Margarita.
Oh, I hate that song. Rock, I think you just replaced the song in my head with the worst song. Now I'm watching some Hispanic dude do it in my head. Oh, now it's being cross-referenced with the Asian dude. Oh, they're having a mass Macarena.
Macarena style.
Oh. Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
God bless, I was made in America.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
It's boots to asses time.
From the big returns.
You gotta be kidding me! I see a ghost in Jarvis! It's James the Snake Roberts! What on earth? I've got chills out of here!
To the shocking moments.
In case you haven't figured it out yet, what I do better than anybody is a jab. Last night was plan A. Tonight, plan B. There's always a plan B.
Oh my God! Are you kidding me? Rollins got a piece of stuff to Ambrose after he took out Reigns!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
See, I just can't stand.
And you are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
Welcome to the panic room.
And welcome back to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thanks for joining us and sticking with us on this late night for people in the Eastern time zone anyway. Right now, guys, it's time for us to play Pick'em. We don't really need to break down the matches or anything else like that. Everybody play along. If you're in the chat room, when we give you the match, just give us who you think the winner's going to be. That's all we need. We need that and your name, of course. So we can put it on the spreadsheet and then let you know who came up with the most correct picks at the end of the pay-per-view next Sunday night. Now, if you're listening on the archive, you can, or if you're listening live but you're not in the chat room, what you can do is we've got a whole bunch of different ways for you to get involved all week long. You can post your picks on... you can post your picks on our Facebook page, facebook.com/wildtalkradio. Is that right?
Wild Talk Radio Network.
Talk Radio Network. That's right. Okay.
Or facebook.com/group/wildtalkradionetwork.
Yes. You can also post it to Twitter at Wild Talk Radio.
Correct.
You can mail it to media@wildtalkradio.com as well.
Correct.
Yeah.
And if you would like to send smoke signals, Tim's outside his house every 90 minutes, so just shoot him up there and he may get them.
Hey, 90 minutes is pretty good interval between going outside creating my smoke signals.
You know, so.
That's a pretty good damned interval, let me tell you. All right.
Every 30 minutes.
No, 90 minutes. Let's get on with it. All right, so let's start with the double main events. First off, Dean Ambrose versus Seth Rollins. Omega, what's your pick?
Oh, jeez. Dean Ambrose really should win this, but I'm still giving it to Rollins. I mean, the cell's supposed to mean no shenanigans are possible, but shenanigans will happen.
Okay, so you don't see this as a blow-off or anything?
Not just yet.
Okay. Mace.
Sorry, I have just watched Robots, the brain fart. Which one are we doing?
You're watching the old Spice commercial.
Briefcase tacos.
So you watched the hot tub one then?
Yes.
That's the newest one.
Which? No, there's what, another one. So which one are we talking about? Which match?
We've got Ambrose Rollins.
I've got Ambrose in this one.
Oh. Okay.
And this if they give this one the time it's supposed to have, it's going to be phenomenal. Let these guys just go nuts.
Okay. I'm picking Ambrose in this one. Ambrose for the win. And let's face it, this is the one match on the card everybody's looking forward to. I don't know anybody who's all dead set against this one. But the opposite could be said for the other main event. John Cena taking on Randy Orton, Mace.
Don't care, Cena wins.
Okay, Omega.
Hooray for Superman.
Okay, let's just make it a perfect trifecta. I'm picking I'm picking Cena as well. We're not even bothering to ask Rock because he'll pick on the Rack.
Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I'm just saying, yeah. If you have both faces win on the Cell, if you've seen a win in the Cell, I don't think Ambrose wins in the Cell. I'm just throwing that out there.
Well, it's been known to happen. It's not as unusual as we're conditioned to believe. But, yeah, so basically the three of us here are picking John Cena. Now we got Big Show versus Rusev Omega.
I'm trying to figure out even if Rusev wins, what the hell you do from here? Unless you just put him up against Cena.
There you go.
Because that's the default.
It is the default.
Yeah, it's going to be Rusev, isn't it?
Because, you know, the strongest man in the world is probably going to show up.
Cena?
No. The other one. Blacker.
Oh.
That one.
I thought it was strongest man in the world based on booking.
Oh, then that would be John Cena all the time. 24/7. He can never look weak. Never, ever look weak. Tim, this is where you're supposed to say, Mace?
I was about to. Mace?
Rusev, because Mother Russia.
Okay.
Tim?
I'll say Rusev because, damn, Lana's ass.
You want me to continue listing the matches now for you, Tim?
No, I can keep going. I'm just having a hard time with this next one, that's all. Because the loser is the other's bitch for 30 days, and of course it's the Bella versus Bella match, Nikki and Brie.
And if they refuse to be the bitch or the assistant for the 30 days, they have to quit.
Yeah. Nikki wins this one, Mace.
Yeah. Nikki gets this one because, you know, let's keep burying Brie.
Okay. Omega?
It's going to be Nikki.
Okay.
I don't have a particular reason other than, you know, this is the kind of thing you do to shame the baby face.
There you go. All right, so the next ones are not exactly set in stone as of yet until tomorrow night, but we're pretty positive that these are going to take place, starting with the IC title matchup, Dolph Ziggler versus Cesaro. Omega?
Just
skip one. I'll get to it. Hang on.
Ziggler.
Okay.
At this point, I have no faith in Cesaro ever getting a push, save for someone else getting injured and him having no choice.
Okay. This is a tough one. Like I said, this match will most likely take place. Not confirmed yet, but. I gotta say Cesaro. I don't know why. I just feel it's in the cards. Mace.
This is US title, yeah?
IC title.
IC title. Sorry, brain's shutting down for some reason. Ziggler, because, you know, God forbid a guy with talent. Well, actually, I can't really say that, can I?
No, because it's
both guys are talented. What the fuck? That cynic in me really needs to shut the fuck up. Ziggler. I don't know why. I don't really think they're going to give Cesaro a run.
And it's okay, Mace, because last month Cesaro was fighting for the U.S. title at loss, and, you know, immediately gets the Intercontinental title shot, you know.
Yeah, thank you for covering for me, Rock.
This will be mid-card title match, number 13 in a row.
Because they just swapped opponents, if you think about it. Tim?
Who's up?
I'm thinking.
Like you.
Well, we've got two more matches to do, and I'm just deciding on which one I want to list.
We'll sit here and wait.
Can you tell that we've hit the two-hour mark? Because everybody's just going, fuck this shit.
All right, you have...
Yeah, we've kind of had our fill. All right,
don't mind me. I'm playing Smash TV right now. I'm happy.
Yeah, there you go. Let's speed it up. Sheamus versus The Miz for the U.S. title on Mace.
Let's put it back on The Miz because, you know, we haven't bounced that title around enough in the last 2 months.
There you go. Yeah, Omega.
Keep it on The Miz until Mizdow finds his sand back again.
Keep it on. So you're picking Miz beats Sheamus?
Yeah.
So you're picking Miz wins the title.
Yeah, you said keep. Yeah. Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah. You're
maybe I am starting to fry out. I don't...
Yeah. There you go. I'm giving it to Sheamus. Sheamus keeps it. Sheamus wins the title.
It would be funnier to see The Miz have to be the stunt double for Sandow at some point.
Maybe that'll be a stipulation of the match that they wind up having against each other eventually. And, of course, likely to happen, Divas title AJ Lee versus Paige Omega.
Okay, so since AJ beat Paige last time, I think the trend... we're just going to go with the trend.
Okay, so Paige wins.
actually, no. This time I'm thinking AJ keeps.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, well, I'm going to bounce it again. These two going back and forth against each other is making at least that part of the Divas division enjoyable enough to watch. And this is one of the few times I don't mind the title going back and forth between the two of them, so give it to Paige. Mace.
I'm going to give it to AJ Lee because, you know, that title is her only friend at the moment, and I just feel sorry for AJ. Okay. She needs friends, but she has the title, so it's okay.
There you go. Her title is her best friend. All right, and so that's Hell in the Cell. That's our pick'em. Time now.
An absolutely fucking terrible pay-per-view lineup.
Yeah, it just on paper doesn't look too overly appealing. There are two matches that I'm really looking forward to see. The rest of them, we'll see what happens. And we'll see what happens next Sunday night at 8 o'clock Eastern. Now it's time for the All-Time Greatest.
Who's the man? Huh? Who's the man?
It's time for another WTR Original.
I am the greatest.
All-time greatest.
Well, whoop-de-freaking-doo!
Help us decide what the greatest intro, submission move, or even the greatest title run ever truly is.
I hope I score.
Interact with us in the real-time chat and find out who or what will end up being the all-time greatest.
Stop us now!
Production work was done, finally, after 2-3 months. Frog splash versus top rope elbow drop. Oh my god.
The top rope elbow drop has to be done just right to really look like it's going to knock someone out. You know, Savage drops a pretty elbow, HBK drops a pretty elbow, but it's not a finisher when he does it. I think the frog splash for me wins due to just a much better impact. You know, because it's not as pretty as a flying elbow. It's your entire body going full force into someone's sternum.
Okay, Mace.
Yeah, Omega pretty much nailed it, really. Like, the top rope elbow, it's all in the presentation. Like, anybody can do a top rope elbow drop. but only a few men have ever made it look effective. And one man made it look deadly.
Ooh, yeah?
Damn right.
Ooh, yeah!
Only Savage made that thing look like a work of art and extremely dangerous at the same time, no matter who tried to friggin' copy it. Nobody can do it as good as he ever did. Whereas the Frog Splash, it's got presentation, you can do variation, and no matter what happens, it's always that nice combination of presentation, impact, and follow through. You had Eddie Guerrero, who would just do a very stock standard one, but he would just make it look devastating when he hit, and it would always land straight into a pin. You'd have Van Damme, who'd fly halfway across the ring, halfway to the fucking moon and back to deliver it, and he'd bounce off like he just came down from orbit and really sold the move. You know, it's great combination, so I'm going Frog Splash on this one.
Tim.
Yeah, I gotta go Frog Splash as well. Top rope, elbow drop, yeah. Good move, done well.
Tim, hold on.
What?
I'm hanging up on you, and I'm calling you right back.
Okay.
Because he was skipping, wasn't he? Or is that just me thinking?
Like a record.
Yeah.
This is what happens when he calls on the old Victrola.
Yeah.
Do I have Skype problems?
You were skipping like a record.
Skipping like a record?
Yeah. You're better now. Continue.
Okay, now you guys are all electronic noises, so. But as long as you can hear me. Frog Splash, top rope elbow drop, done perfectly by one person. We've alluded to Macho Man Randy Savage on more than one occasion. Shawn Michaels made it look okay, but yeah, Frog Splash, just, both top rope moves, there's just a lot more to the look of the Frog Splash. Looking like it would be a little bit more deadly. So. Frog Splash!
Wow, that was even worse sounding. Anyway, we'll try this again. So the Frog Splash moves on. It's so much fun just hanging up and
running. You just like having the reason to hang up on him, don't you?
No, not really. No, let's see what happens this time. Because that was worse than the ones before. There we go. Let's. How about now, Tim? How are you sounding now?
Am I sounding better?
Hey, because you're on your phone.
Yeah, I switched to the phone.
Because it was sounding like crap.
But you heard my answer, right?
Yeah,
Frog Splash.
Yeah, we heard that. Frog Splash moves on to Figure Four versus the Cobra Clutch. Mace.
This one's actually hard, to be honest. Both submission moves, both very interesting, both have a nice presentation, and legitimately do what they're supposed to do, you know. Figure four, if you put that on a normal person, it is going to stress their knee to the point of almost breaking. When you're arriving in pain in the figure four, you're not acting, that's fucking real. Cobra Clutch, on the other hand, can knock a person out if applied properly. So, I'm going to go Cobra Clutch because I've got a feeling it's going to be the unpopular option.
Omega.
I could make an argument for the Clutch. Because it doesn't suffer from one of the biggest weaknesses of the figure four, in that you need damn near the entire ring in order to actually apply it without giving someone an easy escape. But I have to give it to the four, because that also works to its advantage. Because it's an interesting hold, not only in that it's a solid leg hold. It looks like it hurts like hell, and it can legitimately hurt. But also because you have so much play with it as a wrestling move. You know, the opponent can try to work toward the ropes for a rope break. And since you've got the entire upper torso, one of the best parts of seeing Ric Flair put that figure four on is watching someone try and crawl to the ropes and Rick just adamantly shaking his head, just going, no, don't do that, no, 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 do that, no. But you also have the heel tactics. You also have the heel tactics of it, where if Rick gets to the ropes, now he can apply more pressure when the referee's not watching. And then, of course, you have, you know, the traditional reversal of, you know, flipping the whole thing over. There's a lot of ways that move can play out. It's not just, well, you know, the, you know, it's not your standard hold that has that's the same escape every single time, and it's just a matter of if the person can escape that way or not. There's a lot of things to do in that hold, which makes it far more interesting.
All right, so that's 101, Tim.
Well, you look at them both, both very effective, and like May said, they do what they're meant to do. Cobra Clutch, not really much of a counter for that. When you stop and you think about it, the figure four, you've got counters for it only if you're permitted counters for it. This is like the only time you can flip it over is, you know, and it, like if you're putting it on legit, there's no way the person that is in the figure four is going to be able to keep their wits about them enough, because the thing hurts and it will break your leg. I almost broke my brother's leg one Christmas season. I threw him into the figure four. He's being a smart ass, and he pissed me off, so I put him in the figure four, and I legit just about broke his leg. But he stopped being a jackass afterwards. So just on the strength of the pain factor, it's the figure four.
So figure four moves on.
So yeah, I told you the clutch would be the unpopular option.
Yeah, well, you should have convinced them, R. Next week on the program, Diamond Cutter versus the Pile Driver, and Kill Switch versus Total Elimination.
Ooh. Well, I think it's time we hit the quick hits.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits. Wow. That's right, it's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
Tim, what Power Ranger do you most relate to?
I have no idea. I don't know anything about the Power Rangers. The one that didn't die in the car accident. How's that?
Oh.
That's all I know about the Power Rangers is one of the actors died in a car accident.
Come on, you hang around with those two and you don't know anything about the Power Rangers? Come on now.
I don't know anything about the Power Rangers. One's purple, one's black, one's red, one's blue, one's green, something like that.
They haven't had a purple one yet.
Oh, okay. No, that's Teletubbies.
All right, so he's going to be the purple Teletubby. All right.
Purple comes in the next series.
No, the purple Teletubby's a drunk.
Which is why it works for you.
There you go. There you
Mr.
go.
Homebrew.
Tinky Winky far down. Oops.
How does he know that line?
My son used to watch Teletubbies. I was forced to. You wait until...
Forced
you know, like,
to.
If you ever have kids, you'll be forced to watch shit.
Forced to. Uh-huh.
I still watch the kids' shows today. What are you talking about? I'm going to be forcing them to watch the cartoons they're on. Look. This is the eighth new version of Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, but what if they want to watch Teletubbies?
No.
Yeah, you say that now. Wait until there are actual children in your life. No, shit changed.
Tim, I have talked to my woman. We have agreed that we will be bringing up any future children with the cartoon collection I have sitting on these hard drives. They will not be exposed to any of that Dora the Explorer Teletubber bullshit. They will grow up on Disney Afternoon, Turtles, Transformers, all the good stuff.
No, no.
I said before Owen was born. Good luck.
No,
good luck with that.
Mace, sorry, you're no, it's not going to happen. Just watch.
Yeah, no, good luck with that. That's all there is to it. Good luck with that, and that's all I'm telling you.
Mace, you can drink one liquid for the rest of your life. What is it?
Water. It's healthy.
Yeah, fish fucking it.
It's still healthier than soft drinks, alcohol, and anything else out there.
I like how Tim says fish fucking it. There's this story we told last night on CB Radio where a couple were having sex in the ocean and then they got suctioned together.
Yeah, I read that. One part of that story is, you know, I don't know what the problem was. You know, they could have just waited until the guy got soft and then pried him apart.
That's all right. There was some person
on the comment section on the newspaper online.
Like, going back to what Tim said about, you know, fish fucking it. Well, there was actually a fact put out the other day that when whales have sex, only 10% actually goes into the female, and you wonder why the sea is salty.
Oh.
You're giving Omega nightmares. Cut it out.
This is why he stays away from the ocean.
And the thing is, out of all of us on this call, I think Omega's the closest to the ocean.
Yeah.
He's like right on the ocean compared to you. I'm landlocked.
Omega, if you had to get a piercing, not ears, what would you get?
Piercing, not ears.
Mm-hmm. If you say Prince Albert, you're going to get kicked.
No. No. That is one of my best friends you were talking about.
Yeah, I bet.
God, I don't know. I hate the idea of it. Under what context would I have to get pierced?
You're forced.
Somebody's holding a gun to your best friend.
Well, and yeah, I'm going to get pierced no matter what.
They're holding a pair.
Omega, somebody's holding a sledgehammer to your Fortress Maximus.
Oh, shit. No, give him the choice of holding a sledgehammer to the Fortress Maximus or the gun being held to his best friend. Give him that option.
I'm expecting the friend to be sacrificed first, to be honest.
You know, so am I.
The sad thing is it'd probably be nipples by process of elimination.
I want to hear how you got down to this.
Because it's not going to be anything delicate. Nothing below the waist. It's not going to be anything visible. So, no eyebrow, lip, nose, and not the tongue, because that's one of the more dangerous places to get a pierce. And I wouldn't do the belly button, because that's just weird.
So, nipples it is?
I guess.
Now, will you get rings for said piercings?
No.
Okay. Tim, would you rather be a snake or a turtle?
A snake or a turtle?
Uh-huh.
I have no idea. Fuck.
This one's simple. You don't have to actually pick a color. Snake or a turtle? Simple.
Well, what kind of snake?
Doesn't matter what type of snake.
So I could be any snake I wanted?
You could be a snake or a turtle.
Not Randy Orton.
I could be a Texas rattlesnake.
I don't know.
You two are in sync right now, thinking alike.
I'll say Texas Rattlesnake.
Okay. Mace, if you could start.
What is a Texas Rattlesnake, Alex?
Mace.
Rattlesnake from Texas. What the fuck do you think?
Jeopardy, jackass.
If you could stalk one wrestler, Mace, for 24 straight hours, who would you stalk and why?
God, if I stalk one wrestler 24 hours. So basically I'm stalking them, I don't have... Like, I don't actually go near them, don't ask them questions, just sort of watch from the shadows?
Yes.
Fuck. That makes it a lot harder, because it's like, if it was like, oh, it's like, fuck it, just break it and go, hey, I just want to talk wrestling and sit under the learning tree. If I... God, you actually got me stumped on this one, because I'm trying to think, it's like...
Because if you say a female, that's sort of creepy.
Yeah, I know, it's already creepy, and it's like, well, I could have gone straight to AJ, but then again, that means I'd have to stalk CM Punk as well, which is not exactly that great from what I've heard. He goes to baseball games and ignores fans, supposedly.
And hockey games, too. He likes the Blackhawks.
Yeah. See, if he was still alive, I would have said the Ultimate Warrior just to find out where he goes when he disappears into the smoke. But nowadays, it's just looking at a gravestone. I actually don't know. Actually, I'd probably... Vince McMahon for a day. Try and find some sort of secret to get him, you know, put in an insane asylum or something so he doesn't have control of the company anymore.
Okay. And finally to you, Omega. If you were rich enough to own a giant butt plug that you could stick into any city, where would you stick it?
Oh god, I'm getting fucking OTL D&D by flashbacks again.
No, Megan knows why I asked on this one.
Oh my god.
Let me guess, that has something to do with cards last night.
No, it really doesn't.
Butt plug, any city.
Any city.
I'm gonna offend someone no matter what city I pick.
Yeah.
God, there's part of me wants to say Detroit.
I don't know why I find that so funny.
Part of me wants to say LA because there's so many assholes there anyway. Part of me wants to say Butte, Montana just so it can be the Butte plug. I'm going to make it Las Vegas just because that seems the most appropriate.
You could have put it in Paris, France. The French are real assholes.
No, because that's where the one really was. Anyway.
That's where the original one really was, yeah. And it was torn down by vandals.
Yeah, they had to deflate it.
Yeah, so there you go.
They heard Lita was going to go give it a try.
Ba-dum-bum.
Wow, 2 hours... Anyway.
Yeah, that long for a Lita joke. Hey, everybody, thanks for tuning in to this edition of WTR Sunday Night Roast Talk Radio. Don't forget, next week, 1 hour later because of the pay-per-view, we'll be on at 9 Mountain, 11 o'clock Eastern, breaking down the pay-per-view and giving our reviews of it. But before then, a lot of stuff going on, starting with tomorrow night, immediately following Raw, right after wrestling, it's the Raw post-show.
11:10 p.m. Eastern, Joe, myself, and Lindsay Borders will recap everything that goes down on Monday Night Raw, the go-home to Hell in a Cell. And apparently, the cell is going to be at Raw.
Ooh, freaky. All right, Thursday night, 10 o'clock Eastern, 9 o'clock Eastern.
Right, 10 p.m. Eastern, Thursday night, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Go back and listen to our interview with the one, the only, the devil's favorite demon, Kane, from this past Thursday night. And check us out this Thursday at 10 p.m. Eastern for NXT review, Hell in a Cell Pick'em, and all the news and notes you can handle. It's The Rack, 10 p.m. Eastern.
And you never know when The Rack will interview another current WWE star.
You never know.
It's so weird to hear Kane have a plug.
For the network? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you can follow the show on Twitter.
As boring as it was, yeah, that was interesting.
It's
Kane.
It's Kane! Who cares?
Freaking Kane. It's at WTRTheRack and Facebook.com/WTRTheRack. And check out Lindsay on Twitter at LindsayWord and Behance.net/LindsayWord. Check out The Rack Extra Season 3, Episode 6 and 7 available now. On next Friday and Saturday will be Episodes 8 and 9 because they like to throw two Total Divas on back-to-back on Sundays lately. So lots of episodes.
So there you go, yeah. And Saturday night at like 10 o'clock Eastern, they play Evil Apples, Cards Against Humanity.
Yes, we do. We torture King Kins for 2.5 hours.
And he absolutely hates you all, for Orth.
Yes, he does.
But he comes back.
Every single week.
But he keeps coming back. He's a masochist.
Yes.
He's an absolute masochist, yeah. And, of course, Midnight Eastern, or as close as they can get to it, another edition of CB Radio. It's the wild, the wacky, the unusual.
The weird, the wacky, the unusual. It's the spectacular this Saturday night. Follow the show on Twitter at CB Radio WTR. Use the hashtag BlameRob and Facebook.com/CigaretteButtsAndBandanas. Check out the brand new website, CBRadioLive.com.
There you go. Yeah. And you can follow me on Twitter at GoNHLGo, or you can follow me on Twitter at ManKitchenTV.
Follow me.
You can follow the Mace thing on Twitter if you want to follow Mace, and you should because, you know, he needs followers.
Well, not so much that, but if you would like, feel free to follow me at The Mace Thing. But what I really need people to do is go over to youtube.com/WTR Games Garage and check out the variety of videos that I have posted over the past week, including Sleeping Dogs Definitive Edition review, a couple of World of Warcraft videos, the October Loot Crate with the theme of fear this month, and a video that's been up for just about an hour, a little video to do with opening some WCW trading card packs from 1991, which might include an opportunity for people who watch to win something. Hint, hint.
Ooh, win something, hint. Mm. I get it.
And unlike Tim, I'll actually send you the stuff.
Back off.
So definitely head on over to youtube.com/WTRGamesGarage. There will be more videos coming up soon as, like Omega, I now get to sit there in front of an editing screen for hours going, why the fuck did I record this shit? And try to adhere to a schedule that I'll never actually do.
There you go.
The other thing you should...
Did you find a Black Lotus in your cards, Mace?
Oh, fuck, I wish. I wish. God, I saw that video and my brain just went boom. Pulls out nearly a 30 grand card out of a pack that probably cost him a grand to buy. But anyway, one last thing you should do, if you have a bit of extra time and money, head over to extralife.org and search up the name Shani Walker. That's Chaniwalker. Friend of mine doing some charity fundraising for the 25th of October, where she'll be playing 24 hours straight of video games in support of the Children's Miracle Hospital Network. So head over to Extra Life and search up Shani Walker. Send her some money because, you know, charity is a good thing.
Children's Miracle Network is the best charity you could ever donate to.
Well, it's up there.
was my beer fund. That's a different story. Hey, Omega, plug.
Let's see what to plug first. Well,
stuff.
Good.
He's learned.
Let's see. You can find most of what I do over at youtube.com/user/TJOmega, or just search it there. That's easy. For social media, it's Twitter at TJ Omega, is Facebook at TJ Reviews, and for a bunch more stuff, there's TJOmega.org.
There you go. That being said, I think we're done. Are we done?
I'm good.
That sounds like done.
We're done. Everybody, have yourselves a great week. Catch you next Sunday night for another edition of Wrestle Talk Radio. I didn't do it. WildTalkRadio.com.